things I was going to ask you to do is how you would kind of characterize Warren, Waitsfield, Fayston, and Moortown as their differences.
About the only difference in the way of life would be the nationality. Canadian French population came down, the most settled in Fayston, and there was no village. Fayston had no village and no stores. They used Waitsfield for their place of business. Yes, many of them couldn't speak English. They done very well. I played pool with them, and younger people that came down. They're very, very sensitive about their language, their English. So don't make fun of them, because you're in trouble. No, there's a lot of French. But there were two classes of French. The latter ones came down were more merchant people, merchants' family, sons and families. And the first ones that came down was the horse traders. And I'm going to tell you, don't trust old horse traders. They were a different set of people. Yeah, the terrain made an awful lot of difference. There's not too many. Waitsfield was farming. Warren was more of a small manufacturing town. They had a tub factory. They had two sawmills. Mary Edna, I don't know what it was, she put up, got washed out in 27 flood, but she was going to work about 100 women. So she was building a mill of some kind there. They had three stores in Warren. Waitsfield had five stores operating at the same time. I don't know why they got their business, but they seemed to make money, all of them seemed to live. But it's all farmers. Back then, they didn't, many of the things they didn't, eggs, they wouldn't buy them like they do today. You bring your eggs in, and you had to light them. They had a little box, you put your egg in it, and if it looked all right, if it wasn't all right, it'd be a little dark. And you couldn't get by without any bad eggs, but they take farmers' eggs, they trade them for groceries. A lot of produce was traded for cash. That's more the times than it was the valleys, I guess. At that time, all the small towns were doing the same thing.
What about Moortown? Now, that was different, wasn't it?
Because yes, that was a one-man town, actually. It was B.S. Ward, Burton Ward. His father before him started a lumber business, Hiram. Hiram, that'd be 1800s, way back. Burton, Gus is the one, he was an elderly man when I was a boy. And they had the store, they had wood, they had your fuel, they had your food. And the people that worked for B.S. Ward never got out of debt. Nobody. Unless you were rich when you went there, you wouldn't be working for them if you were.
I'm sorry, you hit the table again. Could you say what you were saying about people who worked for Ward never got out of debt?
They never got out of debt.
If you could start the whole, you need to.
Yeah, okay.
Wait a second,
yeah.
Miles is going to.
I'm just going to do that one more time.
Because Mr. B.S. Ward had lumber lots, and he had people cutting lumber for him. And they had two or three sawmills, two that I remember, that I know well, quite large sawmills. So the help burned their fuel. They furnished wood, and they had one big grocery store. That they sold about everything, you know, about like country old country stores. They had much bigger variety than they have today in any one store. So the help would go in and get credit, and they never got out of debt. Everyone that died owing more. There might have been an exception there when I say everyone, but majority.
Otis Wallace talks about the teams going from Moortown up 100, I guess, to Fayston. They logged mostly in Fayston, or do you know about that at all?
Yes, the logging was mainly in Fayston. Yeah, Fayston was very wooded town at one time, and that was their main produce was lumber, and they cut out a lot of it. And this was, of course, some of it shipped to Ward's Lumber Mill. Very little of it stayed in Waitsfield. I have forgotten where it went. Possibly some of it to Waterbury, and probably it was Waterbury. It's all done with teams, all drawn with teams. The Waitsfield never was too much for lumber, but every farmer had a sugar place, and every farmer had enough lumber on his place to build a barn if it burned or something like that. And you could always trade lumber for your sawmill, and you didn't have to use money.
So another difference, I guess, is really going from a barter kind of a economy to a cash. You must have seen that in your lifetime.
Oh, absolutely! But that was everywhere in Vermont. That was, yes, that was the signs of the times everywhere. Vermont farmers didn't have an awful lot of ready cash, and yes, they all bartered. I just found out from a man from California why it was that Vermonters don't like lamb. It seemed one time when they first trying to clear off the lumber in Vermont, they used mostly sheep to keep the brush down. Growing up after they cut it, and the sheep done a great thing in clearing the lands for their farms. But no amount of cash flowing around, so when the farmer sold meat, he sold the lamb and kept the mutton. And you've ever tried to eat any mutton? That's why Vermonters are not big lamb eaters, because they didn't eat much lamb that was sold. They ate the old sheep, mutton. I guess they called some of them mutton heads.
Now, we were talking about barter and exchange, but when did that change, certainly in the valley?
That changed as soon as the IJ stores, your larger stores, came in existence. That not too many years ago. That's changed more since World War II. I'd say up until then, there was still bartering going on a certain amount. They handled those stores. There was something. If you wanted something, you look around one of those country stores, and I'll tell you, you might not be just what you wanted, but it'd be the same line. They'd have it. Might have to take a half an hour digging through a bunch of junk to find it.
How do you think the skiing industry has been for the valley?
Well, so we've got to compete with the world. Vermont couldn't stay like it was, not live in this society. That it was a good thing. It turned many farmers that couldn't even pay their taxes into millionaires. Property going up like it did. And Yes. All in all, it is a good thing for Mott. As long as the rest of the world is going like that, we got to keep up with it. We all say, well, we should like it used to be, but it can't be. No way.
Yeah, often people say the good old days, but...
Yes, some of them weren't so good. They're good old days because you're young, and when you're young, you enjoy life, and those are the good old days. And when I've been playing music, different people say, oh, gosh, depends their age, play different songs. He picks the best songs. Well, those are the songs they were dancing when they're going with their husband or whatever, you know what I mean? And to them, that's music.
Would you play us a song?
Oh, golly, not alone. I got to have a backup. Well, I don't have to have, no. But so when we get through recording here.
Right, yeah. Okay. I'd love to hear you. Well, I think we're almost done. Is there anything that you can think of that you would like to tell?
No, actually, I was bothered before you came what I could think of to talk about.
Well, you talked about a pile
of
stuff.
You have to, well, you bringing them up, well, it's just like telling a story. Someone tells a story, you think of one.
Actually, one of the things I did want you to tell was, I remember you told me about the burning of the Kaiser and how shocked you were about that.
Yes.
But I thought, that was...
I was only 10 years old at that time. And it was a sad thing to me because he looked just like pictures of Kaiser Bill, with his mustache. They out in the fire and some of the... town leaders had pitchforks. They hung him up there over a blaze and jabbed him with pitchforks. And to a boy 10 years old, I didn't enjoy that at all. No, I just mentioned that because one of those things that kids shouldn't see.
Okay, I think that we're almost done.
Okay. I guess I'll get a little room tone now.
Okay, I'll let the lights go.
Why don't you sit down for 1 second still? I just need to do one thing.
What this is what they do is they run the machine and we all hold our breath for about a minute. And it's for editing. And that way, if we're trying to shorten a story or something, they can pull that into and make it sound better.
All right, so we'll just sit perfectly quiet for just like half a minute. Okay, this is Earl Long Room Tone. That's the end of the room, Tom.
Okay. See, that wasn't too painful.
Why, no. No, just like sitting down and telling yarns. that's where I picked up Don't Jump the Devil.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, from Red. Then you let it go on again. Cold weather.
Does that affect the tuning?
Oh yeah, every string was flat suddenly. Oh, too sharp. Maybe it'll stay there long enough to play a tune or two. What shall we play? A fast one maybe first?
Here, I'll just move this down here. This isn't for real, but whoops. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Didn't mean to startle you. That's good. Just leave that.
I'll play a little of that Don't Jump the Devil you spoke of. I just can't get loosened up here. Fingers all cramped up here, but I'd loosen up too much. Yeah, it's out of tune. I thought it was. Tune about three times, and it's four times. That's a nice old tune. Crazy, I love it. Can't play this violin today. I don't know what's happened to me.
We've given you neurosis.
I never play alone.
I see.
Listen for a backup, you know, and I haven't got one. And, okay, I'm going to play this song anyway because it's beautiful.
Something like that.
What would have been a kind of song that would have been played in Warren for a kitchen junket?
Oh, gosh. Wow. Somebody. Okay. One for square dance. Oh, there's so many of them. We played the old string dances, you know, even Boston Fancy, Portland Fancy, Money Musk. A lot of those I haven't played for years because we don't play them, don't have no call for them at all.
Do you play any of the old-fashioned waltzes?
Oh, yes. Oh, sure. Beautiful. Yeah. Got to think of one now. Today, my specialty is backing up singers. Yeah, I have played a few minutes, get loosened up anyway.
What was that waltz called? I don't know that.
Blue Skirt Waltz.
Blue Skirt.
Yeah. Oh. Blue Skirt Waltz. This Missouri one. Oh, Ohio Waltz, I guess. Beautiful Ohio. Yeah, it is. Ohio.
Earl played for Bertha Tucker's, what was it, her 90th birthday or
88th, I think it was.
Yeah, we interviewed her.
Oh, yeah. I played some old numbers for her. She enjoyed it. Elwin Pierce went up with me. He's a younger fellow. I don't care too much for Elwin's voice, but he knows every song, you know. And does a pretty good job backing you up on the guitar. That's the main thing.
Do you mostly play with guitar players now, or with piano, or...
I didn't hear.
Do you mostly play with guitar, or with piano, or...
Well, I've been sitting in then with a band down in Rutland or over at American Legion. But my plan now is... little girl... like, something in my throat here. Bev Adams now. Oh, she got a beautiful voice. If she had done something with it, it's a husky contralto, but boy, it is beautiful. She plays guitar and sings, and we can get, just the two of us can get by, but I quite often, when I can, in the past, Don Bean, he used to play with the Millers and Rutland, and he used to play with the Don, wait a minute, yeah. That's some of the Pony Boys, Don Fields, the Pony Boys. He's a rhythm, good rhythm man. Here's the chord and guitar, he doesn't know. And his time is good. But hard to get Don, he's not well now. I went up, played to the Sugar Bush Theater. I got Don. Don let me down a little bit. I didn't really appreciate that. Made me play a couple more numbers than I should have. Play about three numbers when the crowd gets hungry, you know. That's time to leave them. Don't spoil it. Bev sang one. Oh, gosh, that was beautiful. The crowd just went wild over there. But she used to play in such a large crowd, and she had a mental block, which I could have helped out, but I figured Don, he's going to sing a couple anyway. I figured Don would sing one. Oh, Earl, my throat. Here we're up here in the full hall, full house, you know. My throat. So I had to play a couple more fiddle tunes. Didn't like that. I wasn't prepared for it, and I probably didn't pick the best ones I could. But I got my afterwards. Don said, "If I'd had an amplifier, oh my gosh, I had one set up right by his elbow." That was a dead excuse. Okay, I think I'll call this a day.
Well, we thank sure. You very much. Thank you. Here, let me hold this.